Hello, my name is Colleen Dietz.
And I'm Miranda Crandall. We are the Angels on Fire.
And this is Mormon Happy Hour. We are two post-Mormon gals bringing you the hottest topics in Mormonism. We will keep you current, keep you entertained, and keep you tuned in.
Welcome to a bonus episode, 13.2, where we bring you breaking news from Mormon Leaks.
And today we have Ethan Dodge, who is the co-founder of Mormon Leaks, on the show with us today to answer a couple of questions about the recent leak. Ethan, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've heard a lot from Mormon Leaks, but we've never heard from you, so I'm thrilled to have another voice from Mormon Leaks.
Yeah, I'm the side that no one knows about, so...
Well, we want to get to know you, so we're so thrilled to have you. Thank you.
Cool. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. So we have this leak that came out just yesterday that's crazy. It's just taking social media and everything by storm. Everyone just can't get enough of it because it truly is quite a window into something that, of course, we all know is going on, but no one has tangible proof enough to come forward like this. So do you want to give us a TLDR on the leak and kind of what it is?
Yeah, definitely. Where do I start? In essence, it is a recording of a woman confronting a man who was the president of the MTC while she was in the MTC in the 80s. And she is accusing him of attempted rape, and she's confronting him. In my opinion, she did so with a lot of tact and was very, very brave for doing so. The perpetrator, his name is Joseph Bishop, and Joseph, he claims to not remember the attempted rape. However, he does explicitly say that the allegation does not surprise him. And he does admit to having molested at least one other woman in the NTC. However, explicit details are not covered in the audio. So
Right. That's
kind of a high level overview, kind of the highlights there.
Yes. And the audio recording is 2 hours and 40 some minutes long. So it's very long.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super long. And the first half hour of it is just kind of, the first half hour of it, she actually makes him believe that she's there to interview him for an article or something that she's going to publish about not so well-known church leaders that have had influential church positions. And then about 30 or 40 minutes in, she reveals why she's there. And then they talk for about an hour. They talk about all these allegations. And then the rest of it is just kind of them going back and forth about what would happen. And he's telling a little bit about his life and stuff like that. And yeah, it's very long, but the allegations and everything, it kind of all happened within between 30 or 40 minutes and an hour and a half or so. I don't quote me exactly on that, but that's
that's about right. I think in about 40 minutes is when she kind of says, you know, you hurt me. And he immediately says, I'm sorry, before she even gets out what has happened and what he did to her. He immediately is apologizing because he is familiar with his own pattern of behavior, I'm sure. And he knows exactly what is about to come out of her mouth is what I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there is a transcript available also if people would like to read it instead of listening to it. But I think listening to it is really powerful because he does, have that soft, patriarchal, sing-songy, slightly condescending tone that a lot of ecclesiastical leaders in the church have. And it is interesting to listen to him go back and forth between his remorse and his guilt for his behavior and then his justification and refusal to admit that he is in control. And so it goes back and forth and back and forth through the entire recording, which I thought was very indicative of, someone who is a predator and who obviously being raised in an LDS mindset, there's this Jekyll and Hyde where they can do good things, but they also do very, very, very bad things.
Right.
So, and I did want to throw out, Ryan made a great suggestion yesterday. If you want to listen to it, he suggests listening to it on double time with the transcript available and you can get done with it in about an hour if that's something that you want to try.
Yeah.
Because, but I think it's a really, really important thing to listen to really kind of understand what's going on and the importance of it. So I did open up some questions to folks on Reddit and a few places on Facebook and within our Mormon Happy Hour Facebook group. I let them know that we would be speaking and asked if they had any kind of questions. And so I wanted to kind of take some. And did you, I know that you and I have spoken and that Mormon Leaks has a pretty strong stand on releasing any information on sources or victims. Did you want to speak to that before we get started on the questions?
Yeah, definitely. I was able to go through some of the questions that were submitted. And not only that, but I've been inundated with questions pertaining to the source and the victim. And I just kind of want to make a blanket statement right now that any question involving either the source or the victim is going to be a no comment. That's just the strict rule that we have at Mormon Leaks to protect both of those parties. So yeah, I'm sorry. I know everyone wants to know about the victim, about her. She's very brave. I agree with all the assessments that I've seen about her as far as her being courageous and brave and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm sorry. I can't offer comments on it.
I completely respect that. You as Mormon Leaks cannot continue to be what you are if you betray those confidences and that those identities. So I appreciate
exactly.
that. And I do personally, I trust that you and Ryan take these things into great consideration, and ethics is at the utmost concern. And so I trust that you have made the decision that is best for all involved. I personally am comfortable with that.
Thank you.
Yes, no problem. Thank you so much, both of you, for all of you do all that you do to bring issues like these to light. That definitely, you know, I believe that by bringing something like this to light, only, you know, it can help other victims feel safer and hopefully bring about eventual change within the structure of the church.
Definitely. And on that note, do you mind if I just make a quick comment?
Sure.
I make a point to make this comment whenever I talk about sexual abuse, just because I think it's so important. While I myself have never fallen victim to sexual abuse, I know a lot of people have, and I cannot even imagine the pain and trauma that happens there. And I'm going to get emotional here, but if there are any victims of any kind of abuse, but especially sexual abuse, that are listening, please know that you do not deserve that by any means at all. And you did nothing to deserve that. Nobody ever deserves it. Point blank, end of story, right? Mm-hmm. And if you feel otherwise, I am so sorry, but I am here telling you that that is not the case and it is not your fault.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That really means a lot. As you know, that's kind of how I started on my road to activism outside of the LDS Church. So I'm so grateful to hear you say that on behalf of me and all other survivors out there. Thank you so much.
No problem.
So are you ready to get started on these questions?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. So let's see. Can we talk about the timing of the release? Was there anything specific that you were heading? Like, did conference or the March to Protect the Children have anything to do with the release? Or was it just an issue of you got it, you vetted it, went through the legal bases, and then you released it? Or was there a little bit more strategy?
No, it was precisely the latter that you said, that we got it, we reviewed it, decided that it absolutely could stand on its own. That's one thing that we need that we take into consideration when we get audio and stuff like that, is if these types of allegations, right? If there's enough proof that this information could in fact stand on its own. We were able to determine that this obviously does. As soon as we decided that we were going to release it, then from there it was just us getting a transcript and getting it redacted and getting the audio redacted, and then we got it out. So
great. So now, did you guys produce the transcript, or did that come to you?
The transcript was auto-generated.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And then we went through it. There were some glaring mistakes, obviously.
Right.
And we say this on the wiki page of the transcript, that we went through and we fixed like glaring mistakes that like changed the meaning of what was intended. Right. But, or mm-hmm. there were a lot of, like, I think we may have actually missed a couple, but it like misspelled Carlos AC's name several times.
But anyway,
it was auto-generated. We fixed glaring mistakes as we were redacting, but there are, and that if you are reading the transcript, please keep that in mind, that there might be some punctuation or grammatical errors in there but they're all minor.
Okay. Well, that's interesting information. Thank you. I guess a little bit more insight on the process. I appreciate that. And let's see. So timing, it came, you put it out. There was no additional planning or strategy when it came to releasing it. Let's see what else.
Can you tell us anything? I have seen mention of a police report. Is that something that you can speak to?
Yeah. The only thing I will say is that I've seen a police report.
So it exists, and police reports are public record.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. Since I know that you did share a lot of your personal feelings about sexual assault and things like that, specific to the church, do you, Ethan, have any thoughts about how — this is a listener support or submitted question — but how the church can handle reports of sex crimes, or how they should handle reports of sex crimes within membership, and any safeguards that should be put in place?
Yeah. And keep in mind that I'm not an attorney or anything. And this is just Ethan Dodge's humble opinion. And mm-hmm. it's not necessarily reflective of Mormon Leaks, but I personally would love to see a mandatory reporting standard, right? That as soon as some leader or somebody within the church catches wind of some allegation, that it is immediately reported to law enforcement.
And not to the hotline.
And not to the hotline.
Right.
And I don't care if the church wants — I mean, obviously, I think the church should be informed if there's allegations of abuse happening within some ward somewhere, right? But yeah, the fact that there is this hotline, and many times bishops call it, or whoever it might be, call it before actually reporting to law enforcement, that's a huge conflict of interest, right?
Absolutely.
And that needs to stop. And as far as I know, the church does not have any rule of mandatory reporting unless you are in a state that requires a mandatory report of all sexual abuse allegations, especially child abuse, right?
Right.
If the church would just adopt that across the board, I think that would be a great start.
Okay, great. I agree. What about — do you have any feelings on background checks and things like that?
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Like background checks for people that are going to be in callings with youth, definitely. Mm-hmm. This particular case, everybody's been talking about how it particularly highlights the fact that, you know, Mormons believe — this is not unique to Mormons by any means — is that mm-hmm. their leaders are called specifically of God, right? And that's a totally fine belief to have. I'm not disputing that belief, but I mean, they also have this saying that I heard often growing up, trust but verify, you know, and like background checks would be a good way to do that verification. Like, yes, you can believe that this person is called of God, but verify that that he really should or she really should be in this position to serve. Yeah, I would definitely be all for background checks. That's for sure.
I agree. So will there be leaks in the forthcoming days preceding General Conference in true tradition?
Yeah, so we don't comment on future leaks. That's also another strict rule that we have. But I mean, if you look at our history, every General Conference since we've launched the site, we've done so. But again, we offer no
nothing on the
previews
record
or anything like that. Yeah,
so. Nothing on the record, but look to our history.
So we will just have to see is what I'm saying, I guess.
Agreed. Well, I will look forward to anything that is indicative of your past history in the week preceding General Conference. Salt Lake Tribune, since everyone wants to talk about press and when it's coming and things like that, what do you have to say kind of in regards to press and our patience?
I can't give any specifics. I can say that there are a couple news outlets working on something. This is a story with some major allegations, and any quality news outlet is going to verify the source, is going to verify that the audio itself is legitimate, is going to do as much digging as they possibly can and cover their bases legally to make sure that this is legitimate and that they feel comfortable moving forward. Otherwise, they could get in — one, I mean, their reputation can be at stake, and two, legally, they could get in a lot of trouble as well. So that's right. What the biggest delay is, legal issues.
Right. I completely understand that. They're under different obligations than you at Mormon Leaks would be under.
Yeah, it's interesting. Mormon Leaks, we're a media organization, right? We like to say that we're a journalistic resource, but we're not journalists by any means. And it's kind of like, yeah, this interesting area that, yeah, we play a very important asset. We're to certain journalists, right, that are interested in our stories, but we're also not reporting. We're just putting information out there. We don't editorialize at all, or at least we do our best not to, right? Mm-hmm. So that, and then we let the public and the media decide for themselves if this particular document or audio or whatever it may be is how newsworthy it really is.
Okay. I like that. And kind of going back to the leak in question, the title, it talks about, you know, that the sexual assault, I believe, is in the actual title of the leak. And at first, you know, I'm like, well, I'd like to hear what it actually is. And because it's so long, it takes a while to get into it. In the first 40 minutes, there's no real allegations. And then he slowly, like, he just gives piece by piece by piece. And the more comfortable he gets, the more she reinforces him, the more that comes out, until by the end, you know, he agrees that he's the Harvey Weinstein of the LDS Church. And he talks about going to, you know, an AA type meeting where he says, "Hi, I'm Joe. I'm a sexual predator." And like, by the end, it's like, well, okay, that's not an editorialized title at all to this leak. It's very factual, based on his own admissions and confessions within the 2 hours and 40 minutes of the conversation. So I think that's kind of interesting, because I know that you guys don't editorialize. And so when I first read that title, I'm like, whoa, what's going on? And then I listened and I'm like, oh, yep, that's exactly what it is. I get
it. Yeah. Sorry, let me clarify. You're specifically talking about our headline of the... Yeah, a little bit of a backstory is that, like, we usually use very benign headlines because in attempt to not editorialize. And to be honest with you, most quality publications do and should, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I mean, like, journalists, obviously, a lot of journalists are... Everybody has a bias. I mean, there's no getting around that. That's just a fact of life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of journalists push certain agendas and whatnot. But a good quality journalist, in my personal opinion, doesn't offer up opinion in their pieces and just kind of reports the news how it is there. And anyway, we try and be just kind of even more...
bland,
neutral, and right. bland, and benign. And yeah, we actually went back on that headline back and forth quite a bit before we thought that inappropriate interactions was the best way to go, rather than saying sexual abuse or molestation, even though he does use, well, I don't know that he actually uses the word molestation himself, but she does, and then he agrees with it. However, at the same time, we just felt it better to just appropriate interactions and
even inappropriate interactions, I'm like, well, what is that? And like, to me, when I first read it, I'm like, well, that just seems too broad and too sensationalized, like that could be anything. And then once I listen to it, then I'm like, oh, nope, I completely agree with that take. And he does, like, towards the end, when he self-identifies as a sexual predator, I'm like, well, there you go, like,
right.
That's in the bag. That's, you can't really, there's no sensationalizing that. He's done it for you. So.
Right. Yep.
Okay. Someone asks where he lives. I don't know if this isn't something from you, but something that I did see that he has, and it is an interesting tidbit, is he, within hours of your leak, he was basically scrubbed from the internet. He is, mm-hmm. His books came, he had two books at Deseret Book. Those are both down. He is still quoted in an article on LDS.org that is still existing as of this morning. I just checked. So that's still standing, his comments on how the missionaries and the MTC, they stay because they're so happy, which is a disgusting quote given this leak. And let's see what else. Oh, so his books were gone. His Facebook page was deleted, but someone took a screenshot of his Facebook page. And on the Facebook page, it says that he lives in Phoenix. But I don't think at this point, I mean, it would make sense based on whether the allegations are true or false, based on this guy's safety. For his safety, I can completely understand he being scrubbed from the internet when it comes to his own personal information. So that doesn't surprise me at all. Because, I mean, even if he is guilty, I don't think... I don't personally trust the masses to properly handle a sexual abuser, even though I think that they are, you know, vile and evil. I don't think that they should be given to the vigilante masses either.
Uh-huh. Right.
So that's all I can say. And that's just from me on where does he live now. That's all that I was able to surmise from things that are no longer available on the internet. Someone did ask if, and this is a hypothetical, this obviously it's not specifics, but there was a question raised about, are there similar allegations of rape and sexual misconduct that are submitted to Mormon leaks that perhaps aren't, that don't meet the vetting process? I mean, none of us really know the volume that comes into Mormon leaks. So I guess none of us really know how much gets turned away. And I don't know if that's anything that you can speak to.
I can't. I'm sorry. No comment there. Again, it's just another strict rule. We don't comment on what we have, what we've turned down, what we're going to release. Yeah, we just can't. Just for the sake of our sources and their anonymity and their privacy and their protection, we just can't.
Right. I think the bigger issue that question was going into is, you know, how many stories are out there that just aren't quite making the same splash based on, you know, ability to verify and things like that. So, and that's outside of just Mormon leagues, you know, that's just in Mormonism, in Catholicism, in, you know, Jehovah's Witness, in any society, how much sexual assault allegation is out there that just doesn't make it to the light of day because of right. not having the right people, not believing and not having the right proof, I guess you could say. And the burden of proof, it seems, always, you know, falls on the victim, of course, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I think that's just about it. Did you have any closing thoughts on moving forward with this? Like, do you have a plan moving forward at Mormon Leaks on kind of how this continues to play out since we're just the day after right now?
As far as any sort of plan, I mean, I want to emphasize that this leak is by no means about us. I hope that the reporting that comes out on it, I hope we are just mentioned in passing for having released it, and that's it. Like, mm-hmm. the story is not about us leaking it. That as far as I know, we're pretty much done with our involvement of this. Mm-hmm. Unless we get more people coming forward, right? And which I would love if that's what started happening.
Mm-hmm.
It would be absolutely heartbreaking, right? To see. However, in my opinion, that's what needs to happen in order to make this situation better, right? So as far as this particular leak, as this particular release, I don't see us doing a whole lot more. I mean, and the information that we have is out there.
Mm-hmm.
But if we are approached by more people and their stories are just as verifiable, we will be releasing them. However, I guess we'll just see how the media takes this one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at this point, I guess outside of responding to media requests, I mean, your work is done. But I'm sure even fielding media requests is kind of a part-time job in and of itself.
Yeah, that's I'm glad Ryan does all that part.
So, except for Mormon Happy Hour, you get to do us.
He fills the requests, and then I'll be honest, most of the time they ask for Ryan because his name is tied to it more, which I'll be completely honest, I'm totally fine with. I do enjoy giving the occasional interview and whatnot, but yeah, Ryan handles most of the media, and it's stressful as I can see it on him.
For sure.
I just handle the tech. So.
Well, we are thrilled to have you on finally and get to know you a little better and hear a little bit of, I don't know, things from your voice. So thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with us today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
As we recorded this interview with Ethan Dodge, two pieces were published. Religion News service writer Jana Reese published a piece entitled "Retired Mormon Mission President Admits He Molested a Female Missionary." It is an excellent and thorough piece summarizing the leak, timelines, and actions surrounding the allegations and statements received from the LDS Church and Mormon Leaks. We will include a link in our show notes. Also, a shocking statement by the LDS Church was also released. In an official church statement, the church admits receiving reports from the victim in 2010, in which they called the police and turned the investigation over. Bishop denied the allegations, and the church did nothing further. Then, in January of 2018, they received the audio recording between Bishop and the victim. Again, they claim Bishop denies the allegations and say they are not equipped to investigate. A link to this press release will also be available in the show notes. Please join our active discussion in our Facebook group of This Leak and many other issues. Thank you for catching our breaking news bonus episode. All right, that's all we have for today. Be sure to check out the Mormon Happy Hour podcast on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Patreon. Thanks for listening to the Mormon Happy Hour. Cheers!